The risks of religious life is we can get into a routine. We move in a certain direction, like a robot. We lift our hands. We drop the hand. We fold our hands. We bow the head. And the mind, I don't even want to suggest where the mind can be. We go on our faith by practicing our faith. We believe in God's mercy to us. So we forgive other people. And if your brethren are like mine, he will always oblige, provide all kinds of opportunities for being merciful to them. And don't tell the person, all right, you know what I'd like to do, but I'm practicing mercy, so I will hold back. Oh, you smile. We go in our faith by practicing our faith. We believe in the need of humility. It must be 30 years ago that I read a little book. I hope you have it somewhere in the house. A little book on Christian perfection by the Dominican saint Vincent Ferrer. I read the little book. One sentence I've never forgotten. Says Vincent Ferrer, if you want to grow in humility, be sure that you watch the first proud thought that comes to your mind. Any thought of self-admiration, self-adulation, what theologians call self-complacency. For a moment, you begin to dwell on yourself. What you've said, how smart that was. For me, what I've written. Keep your eyes off those books. Do you hear me? The moment a self-complacent thought comes into the mind, immediately, 2 seconds is too long, immediately, out of the mind with it. If you want to grow in humility, you must watch and watch out for every single thought that spontaneously arises in our minds of self-satisfaction, what at root is, honestly, self-adoration. We believe in the need for chastity, so we use the means necessary to preserve our chastity, about which more later on. We believe in the Blessed Virgin Mary, so we say the Rosary. So we try to imitate Our Lady's virtues, and we cultivate the habit of invoking her spontaneously in prayer. First recommendation on how to grow in our faith. Secondly, if we are to grow in our faith, we should meditate on what we believe. Meditation is not only useful, it is necessary. And I know something about your rule of life. I know a little bit about your charism. I know you can spend in a given hour, in a given day, even a couple of hours or more in the divine office, right? But don't you dare, pardon me for being so brazen, don't you dare omit or neglect your daily meditation. Mental prayer. The Church's greatest mystics, like Teresa of Avila. Without mental prayer, without meditation, there can be no sanctity. What is meditation? Meditation is thinking about what we believe in the presence of God, period. I don't think I need to tell you how to meditate. No two people are the same. Ignatian method of meditation, I'm sure you've read or heard about. Taking a passage from the Gospels. Concentrate for a specified time. Talk to our Lord. And the first grace we should ask our Lord when we meditate is, Lord, that I may see. Apply the insight the Lord gives you to yourself. Then get into the habit of doing this daily. Meditation should be practical, down to earth. Remember when I began teaching as a scholastic in our high school in Cincinnati, had a twice monthly meeting with the spiritual father, Father McGeary, him and a seismologist from the Philippines. He asked me, well, how's the spiritual life? Well, great. No, I know why I became a Jesuit. I am teaching. It's great. I got a problem with meditation. All I can think about when I'm meditating is that lug in the back of the room is not paying attention. Or the fact that the students obviously do not appreciate the four classes of ancient history that I was teaching. They're bored. And I don't admit it to them, but I'm bored too. I'll never forget the advice I've got. I've passed it on over the years. Look, before you come back 2 weeks from now, try this out. Why don't you start meditating on your distractions? I never thought of it. We had private rooms. The door was closed. I tell our Lord, even out loud, what I thought of those bums that I was teaching. I knew I was talking to him, and he didn't seem to mind. The hour went by and no seconds flat. meditate on the things that otherwise occupy your mind. The secret of mental prayer, the secret is not what I am meditating on. The secret is to be in conscious conversation with God. If you have problems, by the way, there are no problems in life. You know that, don't you? I did tell you, didn't I? There are no problems. Didn't I? What we call problems are all acts of divine providence. Everyone. If we don't know what God wants, we call that a problem. Silly. Ask God to tell you what He wants. That problem is over. Well, you know what He wants, all right, but you're scared. You call it a problem. Now, asking for strength to do it. That problem is over. So where are the problems? There's only one reason for existence on earth, only one. To know God's will and to do it. That's all. Talk with our Lord. That duty is yours to perform. Recreation. Don't just walk into a conversation empty-minded. Otherwise, your conversation would be correspondingly empty. You don't pull out a notebook. Now let's talk about what I've got here on page 11. Oh, the art of mastering conversation. For one person who is in a conversation and knows what he wants to talk about, 1,000. I don't know the proportion. Talk about what's on their minds. Mental prayer. To plan my conversation. What to say, what to do, and write over the years. I mean it. Most of what I've published over the years has been written before the Blessed Sacrament. How do we grow in our faith? By reading Catholic, authentically Catholic, spiritual books and publications. During my own theology back in southern Indiana, I happened to be one of the librarians, and we had our books. First, all the books that were heretical were in one room, but they got so numerous, we had to put them on the regular shelf. We had inspectors coming for accreditation, and I showed them around. We have the Dewey Decimal Number on all the books. But some of the books had a G under the Dewey Decimal Number. I forgot how I got out of it. But I used my shooter's Jesuit technique. G stood for Gehenna. These were the Gehenna books. Then when I came to Rome for my graduate studies as a priest, my superior then made me librarian for the Jesuits in their graduate studies. After 2 months, he called me into his room. Gave me pages of books, titles of books. Would you please remove these books from the shelf? So I went to the shelf. Most of the books were not on the shelf. They were in the men's rooms. His father asked, can you get the books? We said, yes, you can. Go to each man's room and tell him, I want you to get that book. My Christmas, my first year in graduate studies, I made more friends among my Jesuit confreres than I'd want to count. And most of the books that were to be removed were not formally published. Read, sound, nourishing, theological, moral, and spiritual writing. Nobody in his right mind would think of, shall I use the verb, eating what he knew was toxic. No, we have to. Over the years, I've had to. I still have to read authors that I know are consciously and deliberately not only not faithful to the Catholic Church's teaching, but very learnedly and openly hostile. But I know what I'm doing. I know when I'm handling a serpent. Years of academic training at the Society of Jesus, after finishing my university studies, my friends, I'm no fool. If we want to go on our faith in God's name, know what you are nourishing your mind with to strengthen your faith. And if you have to read those, yes, you will have to. Those who undercut, oppose, openly are trying to destroy the faith, know what you're doing. One last recommendation. If we're going to grow in our faith, we must. And the verb is, we must. Not only be willing already, but to welcome the privilege of suffering for what we believe. I've been a religious for too many years. I've counseled too many religious, men and women, not to know that the most painful experience of remaining faithful to what we believe. Maybe, as Christ foretold, remember, from those in our own household. Don't be surprised. Don't be scandalized. Don't be shocked. In other words, we grow in our faith in the measure that we are willing, and I have to have the word happy, to suffer. Of course, we must be masters of ourselves and beg God to protect us from ever becoming slaves of human respect. We love those who obviously, openly, do not believe and do not act on the belief that, say, we have. The beauty is, as experience will show you, that your patient acceptance of others, and even living with people, God alone judges. He alone is master of His grace, who evidently do not agree with you. Lord Jesus, You've given us what You told Your disciples. The Father had revealed to You from all eternity. You call us Your friends because You've shared with us the secret hidden in the Godhead. My dear Jesus, You know how weak we are. Give us the strength of mind to allow no one, dear Jesus, no one, to make us compromise what we believe. Because, dear Jesus, in the measure of our faith here on earth, He'll be our glory in the life to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us sinners.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.